Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, the world building podcast, where we throw spaghetti at the wall and it is up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. We're back, baby. Today's episode, we are talking about crowns.
The thing you wear on your head when you're a ruler.
Do you have to be a ruler?
Good question.
You wear them a lot on, people wear them a lot on birthdays.
True. You wear them when you're special.
You wear them, yeah.
And if you're a ruler,
that's why I wear one every day.
It makes it really hard for you to put on the headphones for this podcast. Yeah, but you know, you do you, babe. I'm
wearing the fucking crown.
Okay, well, the real world is a great place to pull inspiration from. This the idea of this episode came from me looking at a coral crown in the Victoria and Albert Museum in London. If you live near a museum that, especially if you live in Europe where they have lots of monarchs in history, crown, you can go look at crowns, and there's a lot of inspiration we had in there. Those gemstones, minerals, rocks, any of those types of things in museums, I think, are a great fodder for, ooh, you can make a crown out of that. Because you can make a crown out of anything. We'll probably discuss some of that as we're going through here. But while I was looking through this exhibit going, oh my God, they made crowns out of a lot of shit, including coral, and it looked dope.
Yeah. I like how many crowns throughout the world are actually just hats.
Yeah, they're just like, we have velvet
hats.
Yeah.
They're just hats. Like, they're just, like,
is the Pope's hat is not a crown. It's just a hat. But it's kind of a crown because
wrong tree, bro.
How do you say sorry in Hebrew?
Slicha.
I can't do that.
I got really excited when I was doing prep for this episode when I found the Raven Crown. I was like, oh, what is the Raven Crown? And it's the crown that is worn by the Dragon Kings of Bhutan. I'm like, well, that's amazing. That sounds great right there. And it's a hat with a raven on
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you call it a crown, but it's really just a hat, it's a crown.
Right. If any other person were to wear that, you would think they were crazy. If they were walking around with a hat with a bird on it.
And then they're just in Portland. That's a deep cut to Portland.
Yeah, I don't know how to react to that.
You just don't. You just put a bird on it.
There are also some really good examples. Yeah, just put a bird on it. Some good examples from
throughout everything.
Fantasy media. You got Lord of the Rings. I love Aragorn's crown. I think it is about as when you think crown, it's up there. Like it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's classic.
Yeah.
I also really like the Witch King's helmet. Crown,
it's intense
thing.
Mask. Two extremes of crowns.
Yeah, very. Which I'm sure they were going for. I actually like that they put it on the outside. In the book, it's revealed when the Witch King takes his robe off that is he doesn't really have a body; he's just a floating crown.
Yeah.
But I like that they put it over his head like a mask. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
I also really, not for nothing, love. We don't talk about them enough. Sailor Moon. And Wonder Woman.
We've never talked about them, I don't think.
I know.
Maybe Wonder Woman.
Thus my point. Thank you for proving my point. Yeah. Both of them, their tiaras, both of them turn them into throwing weapons. And I think that's cool.
That is cool.
I think more like, I know it's a little bit getting into Odd Job or Random Task from Austin's cool. Powers, but like, yeah, I think more people should throw their crowns.
Yeah, also Wonder Woman predates Odd Jobs, probably. Wait, is Aja from the book? When was the book written?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, this is interesting.
I think the book was in the 60s. Wonder Woman was in the 50s, I think.
So Wonder Woman might take the win.
Yeah.
If you want to do the homework on that and write into us, you're welcome to. But yeah, I think using them as a weapon, that's pretty cool.
I like that. I also really like the way that they show it sometimes for a different culture. The hairpiece crowns that they use for the Fire Nation in Avatar The Last Airbender. Mm. Those are really cool. There's that scene in the one episode when Iroh gives Avatar Roku's hairpiece to Zuko. So it's clear, yes, it is a crown, but it is also a cultural thing. It is a personal thing. I thought that was really beautifully done.
Yeah. I think Game of Thrones has quite a few crowns, and I think they do a good job with it.
Because they have too many kings.
T- Too many kings.
Too many kings.
No, don't go down this path. I'm so sorry, listener, that's now in your head for the rest of time. It's a 14-minute video. Go watch it if you need to. But the Renly's crown is super cool because it's like a stag crown.
It's not. I thought it was the vines.
Yeah, I mean, they're antlery, but they look kind of like vines, but they are technically antlers.
I always thought it was subtle because I thought it was him trying to basically shout out the Knight of Flowers, who was his lover.
No, it's him shouting wrong. Out his the stag is his house's yeah. symbol.
Yeah. I was wrong.
Yeah, I'm glad that you've admitted it finally. It's only taken 99 episodes for you to finally admit that you're wrong.
Oh, about that one very specific thing. Oh, yes, okay. Everything else I've been right about.
What's a port?
Morphologically?
Shut the fuck up. All right. Why don't we just get into our teases? We've beat around the crowns a while, so.
tease me, Kyle.
My noodles for this episode, the words to describe them as a teaser are body mod crown.
Body modification added to you, built into you.
You'll figure that out when we get there.
I love body mods.
Give me the teaser of your noodles.
I love body mods. Invasion of privacy.
I'm gonna go first.
Yeah, I think you should.
Okay. So this is a real Ethan joint I'm about to pitch to you that.
Body mods? Yeah. Right up my fucking wheelhouse.
So right up your alley or in your wheelhouse. Get the fucking idioms right.
Tell me. Don't fucking tell me where my fucking wheelhouse goes.
It doesn't go.
Don't tell me. No. This is not up for you. No. I'm hand waving it.
Hand wave English idioms.
You the queen will come. Well,
the queen
she
dead.
Is.
She's dead. The king
you
will come.
You were just in the UK.
But we were talking about the fucking crowns. That just, I'm just connecting it all, man. I'm not a British subject. I don't care about the. Well, moving on. So, my idea is, it's a crown that is a body mod where you know when to be coronated. They basically, and we can dance around a bit, maybe pivot on the actual idea of how this goes down, but gross alert coming up that it's kind of like a bunch of spikes around it, and they just plunge it into your skull, and it's lodged there, like serrated.
Yeah.
And so once it's in there, it's stuck in there.
Fucking love it.
And then they put a like a sash around, like a, you know, something that go like around the base so that you don't see the scars on the monarch, because they don't want to make them look, you know, more alien, or they don't make them look gross or whatever. They want them to just, you know, to be like, this is embedded, you know, heavy is the crown.
Yeah.
You know, this is fully fucking on your head forever. And you live with that subtle pain to remind you how to, you know, like this is a responsibility. And then they just put a little sash covering it so you don't see it. And yeah.
Well, subjects should be a king, a king, a queen, a monarch, a ruler exists in an ideal world to shield and protect their citizens. So why wouldn't they also shield and protect their citizens from the realities of what it takes for them to be there, to be in charge, and the pain that they have to go through?
That's a good metaphor, especially if you make this ruler a benevolent and very effective ruler, right, who's very caring. So yeah, that's a good shout. I think where it gets potentially more like where the conflict and the interest can come is in succession itself, because what if someone, if you make it somewhat easy maybe to assassinate the king, you rip the crown off, these are, they just pull it off their skull, they will die.
I think you could solve that pretty easily by changing the mechanism of attachment from pushing onto a head to nailing it into the head, so it's actually going into the skull a little bit. I don't know if you've ever tried to pull a skull apart. I haven't. I assume it's pretty difficult. But it would certainly make it harder to do.
The way that you set that up was like, I don't know if you've done this, but I have.
I haven't.
I have. I don't want to talk about work. It's fine.
A lot of bugs went missing. But yeah, I think if you just make that small change and have it be something more along the lines of a,
like,
if it's screwed into the skull, I think that's better. I think you could also very easily do something more like Man in the Iron Mask, where it's completely attached to their head, or you could even go so far as to steal from Game of Thrones, which you already mentioned, do the Khal Drogo thing where they pour molten metal over you and then maybe use magic to shape it into a crown-like shape, and so it is fully fused to you.
I think, okay. Alright, two things. I'm going to finish up the first idea and then we're going to pivot to that, which is, I think part of what I really want with that version is that it is like, there is no way to take this crown off of this monarch without them being dead. It's
I like that.
So like, if you screw it on, you could just unscrew it. I'm like, you are violently attaching it, like shoving it into them. With one, you have the reminder of the pain, and then two, you don't get a new monarch without this one being dead. And I kind of like that for that idea. But I think this idea is really cool. To take the Khal Drogo approach, but then
crown for king,
but then make them not die.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Viserys,
yeah,
who sucked. But how do you do that?
Magic.
Maybe it's that. Okay, they wear a helmet on, or they wear something on their head that basically has one trench around the outside that is revealed, and the rest of their head is covered by adamantium or whatever,
Sure.
Just something that's it will not be heated and it will be fine. And they pour it in, and then so it fills this trench, and they get to build off of that. So it's burned, and there is burn marks all around that, and it's attached through that.
And then they chisel away the mold to reveal the full design of the crown.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. And magical protecting over the head. Use of magic in shaping the thing.
You don't have to use magic in the shaping of the thing.
You
literally could do this, I think, in a fucked up real world context.
It's free form. It's molten metal. It flows where it will. If it covers your eyes, you're kind of stuck.
Mm.
And each crown is very unique in that way.
Maybe. I feel like he could do that, but then what if it's also you get to design the mold that it will be poured into on your skull, and you get to put whatever designs you want within there. And I feel like yours is a much more raw and this could also just back to the, what is the theme of the story? What's the theme of this place? If they are a raw primal people, then having it be more bespoke works. But if it's a very orderly, if it's an empire that thrives on being bureaucratic and structured, then you might want a really intricate storytelling motif on this crown. And thus you mold it very finely.
I think mine is the origin story for yours.
So it starts off by being raw and primal, and then over time
as a society evolves,
then they become these very finely crafted, and whoever gets to do that, that is their masterpieces. Mm-hmm. They built the crown for the monarch.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's a good three line.
Agreed.
It's kind of the end of the idea.
Yeah.
Move on ears.
Little Hellraiser too. I'm going back to the screwing it in or the pressing it on, and I'm just remembering Pinhead from Hellraiser with all the nails in his head. No, empty reference. Cool. Yeah. Moving on.
What is it? Was an invasion of privacy.
Oh, good. Yes. Those were good. That was a good teaser. One of a leader's often chief responsibilities is to lead the military.
Correct.
Rulers in fantasy media, speculative, are often also incredible warriors, very powerful mages. Not uncommon to see them on the battlefield. I liked the idea of the crown being a vehicle for being the commander in chief and being the military leader, as well as a symbol of authority. the crown itself connects you, that the ruler wears connects you to all of your generals so that you can communicate with them in real time during moments of war and also see through their eyes, maybe with or without their consent. I hadn't decided, but I wanted it to be a control crown. And my feeling is that this is sort of a one ring situation where every position of authority has some version of a control crown. So generals can see through the eyes of their soldiers and communicate with their soldiers to control their tactics in real time, right? Ship captains. I've been on a real big airship kick recently. Don't know why, just super into the idea of them.
They're cool.
I like the idea of the captain of a gigantic flagship wearing one of these control crowns that gives them full insight and control into the ship. Basically, they become the ship. And so I think all of these sort of pyramid up into this one crown.
Okay. Here's my response pitch. All the generals have, so the generals swear an oath to be, you know, as a part of their military service. And they swear an oath that also includes, like, this, you know, fealty to the king and, you know, a commitment ruler to carry out their...
not always a king.
I know, but I'm just using the word king because it's, you know, whatever.
Slay queen.
Yeah, true. Daenerys did a great job. yeah, we need more.
Did she ever wear a crown?
I don't know.
I don't think she wore a crown.
She wasn't queen for very long. They really did women dirty. Well, Sansa got a good edit.
Sansa was great.
Yeah, she won out in the end, but they made all the other
women
monarchs.
No, they did well with Arya, too.
No, but the women who were in charge. It was like, is this a misogynistic? But they also, all the men were bad in charge, too. So really, only Sansa was good in charge. Just, you know, fair enough. And Jon? No, kind of. Anyway.
Useless.
Neither here nor there. But I like the idea that so they swear this oath and, that, you know, like fealty, and we will follow the commands that are given to us as long as they are... Like, basically, like you have with our military, is like, if it's a lawful order, we will follow it to, like, embed that command structure.
Conscientious objection is real.
Yes. So then the king or queen,
Slay.
She and he, they, there's a James A. Kester joke about people who realize she's an option. He goes, he or she. they always forget. Like, last second, no, you're not going to catch me. Like, they exists. So they give commands and, like, D&D spell command, they have to carry it out. These generals are basically, it's not even in full mind control. It's like, as a part, somehow it's just like, whatever this is, they now have to carry out to the best of their ability.
It's just like an override function.
Yes, an override function says you will now do this to the best of your ability. It's not like I control your motor skills. I just have said, I have commanded, you will now flank on the left. Go. And so you will take, like, you know, you will go in the normal course of action to gather your men and go do that flank. Full stop.
I kind of like that, especially because it gives a special... The success of that function relies on the other part, which is the ruler having perfect information, because they're the only ones that can see all the troops amassed in one.
And before they give a command, they're able to basically, you know, they can tap into the brain of this person because of this crown, and they can hear through their thoughts any concerns or objections to any courses of actions, any warnings they might have, and then say, great, here's your command. So so it's not a two-way conversation, because they don't have the ability to reach out to the ruler.
Oh, it's one way. Yeah,
it's I one like that. Way, but they're able to tap in and at least hear your thoughts to go, okay, I hear what you said, but you don't know what I know. I'm ignoring you.
I'm going to go. I love that note about it. Communication information only goes one way.
And the barriers were like the lawful orders or whatever.
Yeah, like you can't. I like those are both very good notes. I'm going to extend on it and say there is a even deeper emergency fail-safe button.
Okay.
Where the king, queen, ruler, monarch can just effectively possess anyone else wearing one of these crowns.
But I think no one should be wearing these crowns. I think only they wear the crown.
No, no, no. I'm saying any of the undercrowns, any of the lesser crowns.
Okay. I forgot you wanted the undercrowns. I don't think you do undercrowns. I think it...
I'm saying them as a insert crown for control node. I don't care.
Okay.
But it...
Necklace, medallion.
Short. Yeah. Earring. Nose ring. Nose ring. Good. The nose ring of control. The septum piercing of
every
of
suburban dad in the 90s worst nightmare. The nose septum, ring of control.
The septum piercing of suggestion.
That has a good ring to it.
It does. Yeah. Pun intended.
No.
I think that should be one emergency failsafe, that this crown does give the ability to possess anyone else wearing one of the
jewelry thingies, whatever.
Articles whatever. Of control. I don't know. Fucking whatever.
Articles of confederation?
Yes. Famously, a piece of wearable jewelry.
I've worn it as a dress.
Stop talking about work.
Sorry.
The reason for that is more storytelling than anything. I think it would just be fun in a game D&D setting to have the party be facing down one of these generals. And then in a classic Final Fantasy second stage of the boss fight, they get possessed by the ruler who takes control of their body and says, no, 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 fuck you. I'm now in charge.
Okay.
And suddenly it's second phase of the fight.
Yeah.
And the party's got to get shit done. And it's the same body, but it's a different thing going on.
Yeah, I think where I'm going more like more subtle, more like information and underhanded, you're going more full control, a bit more over, and like a bit more gamey.
It is an override. It is an option.
Yeah. Well, specifically with the ability to then control them physically.
Correct.
Where I'm saying that's not an option. It's just like you give the command and then they do it as they need to do it, where they've just like, they have to abide by the command, but they don't like.
No, I like that. I think they can mutually coexist. Mine is just the big red button.
Okay.
Basically.
Yeah. You know, take whatever pieces of this you want.
Exactly.
Make your own edits. But yeah, I think from a visual standpoint, you're right. Like having the generals wearing a crown, an undercrown, you know, as you described it, maybe it's like, then you move into, it's circlet. Mm-hmm. They all wear a circlet. You know, a pretty, you know, not overly ornate, but it has like a sapphire or a ruby or something. It's like something that's like, okay, that is clearly signifying that somebody is worth something. And like that. We all know that only...
And then everyone under them is wearing those half things that really, you know, kind of go over the ears, like those old headphones back in the 90s that would connect behind the head.
Or they just have, like, piercings on one of their ears.
Yeah, but I like this idea visually of scaling, you know, scaling authority with a physical...
I think
object. That was the word I was looking for. Object. Of scaling authority with a physical object. So you start with the elaborate crown and then work your way down. Things get gradually smaller, less intricate, smaller and less intricate as you are able to. The influence of control gets harder and harder.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's totally fair to have it be like a full pyramid scheme and go down as far as you want. I think I like it best when it's just the generals. It has real, you know, like Witch King, you know, you know, vibes with like, I had the kings of men and like, you know, they all answered, you know, through me. And it's like, you have like this tight knit group.
It's
of
a little
nine.
One ringy too.
Yeah, exactly. And like, that's kind of like, it's like one ring, but. You know, I mean, quite really with the control of them all kind of thing. But these generals don't get any power. They just like to have this position, you just have to have this circlet.
I think what we've stumbled on here is this is a natural divide. What you just described, really good for a fantasy setting. Mine is more sci-fi.
Interesting.
Where the control scales it goes down.
I don't disagree with you. I think that makes sense.
Like mine, actually, now that I'm saying that, feels much more at home in like an Ender's Game.
Yeah, like it's very situation. Very sci-fi because that is where I think you get more into hierarchies, controls. Like it
would, spans of control.
It becomes a very convenient sci-fi tech.
Yep.
Versus mine is like it's a little more just like magical influence, but not full mind control
yep.
magic, because people would probably never take the position if yep. it meant you'd be mind controlled.
Yep.
Yeah. I think, good point.
Dope. I think we're going to wrap that one up there.
Moving on to some frozen lasagna.
What have you got?
What have you got? Because I believe you have a lot.
Actually.
Yeah. That's a long list there.
I came up with some ideas here. I'm just going to go ahead and microwave a bunch of different stuff. I'm not really sure what I'm in the mood for here. So we're just going to start. Number one, I did want to call out that idea that we had a while back for a crown that is made up of all of the pieces of the former crowns that came before it.
Yeah, every new ruler has to remake a crown out of all the remnants of all the previous crowns.
Exactly.
And all the previous rulers.
Damascus steel on Damascus steel on yeah. Damascus steel. Yeah. I thought that was cool.
That was a great idea.
In a land of five nations, each of their crowns.
Succession episode, I think. FYI.
Dope. If you wanted it. In a land of five nations, each of their crowns, each of the ruler's crowns contains a jewel native to the other nations as a reminder of their coexistence and dependency on each other. Second idea, a crown in a world where power is won by martial victory, where the crown is made from the reforged weapon of the defeated monarch. Kind of took that one a little bit from that Dragon Prince idea. A crown for a shark king that shoots lasers, so it is literally a shark with a frickin' laser beam attached to its head.
That's a tonal shift.
A crown that gets heavier the more significant the decision that is about to be made or the action that is about to be taken.
What, literally heavy is the crown?
Uh-huh.
Great song by Linkin Park.
A crown that is the scalp and hair of the very first ruler.
Oh, no.
A crown that is made by different materials found during a vision quest that is part of the rite of ascension to the throne, so every monarch has a different crown. A crown that is just a bird's nest with a bird living in it. There is some debate over the bird's impartiality over world affairs. A crown that will kill you if you'd be a bad leader. A crown that tells you what kingdom you should lead, like the Sorting Hat. And then finally, a crown that is just a living octopus.
Okay. Well, I think the bird is maybe the best one. just a fucking nest. And not a druid, just a bird.
Just a bird.
Also,
not like a cool bird.
Yeah.
Not like an eagle or just like a bird.
Just a pigeon.
And there is some debate over its impartiality in world affairs.
Coupled with the Sorting Hat, that's those are some real bangers at the end there. Yep. You really, I'm not giving anything. Those were fantastic. I love all of them. I wish we had, now we'll have to do another episode. We'll do some leftovers where we just take out all those crown ideas and
get work on those.
Yeah, because some of them are actually really good. Like the one of the, and then we just moved on to what stuck with it for yeah. us. But I think legitimately what sticks for me out of all that, and I maybe out of all of our stuff, is the idea of the one where you have the jewels from other kingdoms.
Oh yeah,
and like I think you don't have to be five kingdoms.
No, I just picked a number.
But like if it became that every monarch in this world has a crown where they have, as a diplomatic show, you give like if you enter into good relations or an alliance treaty of any kind, then you give a jewel to the other monarch to put in their crown.
Right.
So they all like it becomes this diplomatic status of. We are well connected.
Right.
Everybody likes us. You've seen me. Do you want to go to war with me?
Right.
You see how many allies I have.
Yeah.
And it can be, and you can have big ones for kingdoms. You can have small ones for like a little duke or for like a regional player, whatever. And I think that symbolizes so much and could be a really cool element to add into any political story. But
I think
a lot of those ideas were really fun, but that one's practical.
No, that I think is cool. I think I also like that because it, for me, made a cool answer to your question about a rite of succession, mm-hmm. which is how do you determine the ruler? Well, it's whoever can get the most pieces, the most offerings from other nations. So if there ever is a crisis of succession, a bloodline is ended, there is no heir apparent, then it's whoever can go out and get the most pieces.
Yeah.
And I think that is how you might, because that is evidence of your strength in diplomacy.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, what stuck for me out of the regular episode.
Yeah.
I think the through line that of the gold, like being molded onto the head, I think the through line of it,
It starts as raw.
It starts as like raw and primal, and then as like this kingdom and moves into being an empire and grows in its power. Then it slowly, you start having a more refined, you know, ornate,
yeah,
crafted crown that really symbolizes the evolution. I think that's really a cool note.
Nice. No, I think I really liked that idea. I love that. I do love that through line. I think for me, I'm sticking with really of the real episode. I'm sticking with two things. One, the idea that the jewelry, the wearables get smaller and less ornate as they go down.
Yeah.
You know, and that split between fantasy and sci-fi.
Yeah.
What I also, that was speaking about the sci-fi world, sci-fi part of it. What I also liked though was the command idea that you had about it's not the full possession. It's just, yeah, I'm going to give an order that you cannot control, because it is not about taking away autonomy. That, yeah, is a side effect, unfortunately. What, yeah, it does is emphasize the ruler's strategic importance
and cohesion as a,
exactly,
as a military.
And I like that, because so much of it, even the idea that I had is like, oh, I'm stepping in now, I'm taking control, ha ha ha, I'm the evil dark lord. No, this is, I just know that you're about to get outflanked if you go and, right. And so I can see, yeah, all of your other soldiers getting decimated. I can hear their thoughts in my head. So I'm not going to let you do that.
Yeah.
And it puts a lot of pressure on the ruler,
yeah,
to be actually capable.
Yeah. And if the ruler does cross a boundary, just take off the jewelry.
Yeah. Whatever.
Like, just take off the little circlet and you don't have any.
And walk away.
Yeah. There's no issues there. Yeah. And that's where you can move into mutiny issues. But in any military, those commanders are supposed to be able to, are supposed to follow whatever order they're given. Mm-hmm. And this just kind of bypasses any need for them to overthink it. Unless it's obviously where, if it's, yep, if it's like, you know, illegal, or they're going to get all their men killed and they know that, then like the command doesn't work, yep, and they don't follow. But for other stuff, they can just be like, well, I did the command and now I hate him, so I'm going to leave.
Bye. Right.
You know, whatever.
Well, you can do it. It's like,
you figure it out.
You have to, maybe it's something you have to refuse a command three times before, nah, it can be executed. I don't know. But I like the idea of there being a splinter group of generals who have taken off their crowns, mm-hmm, and it's called like the broken line or something, because, yeah, everything relies on the, you know, the line of command or the, yeah, chain of command. So this is called the broken chain. It's just all the people that have broken that chain of command.
Mm. Yeah,
kind of like that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Well, that's what's up for us.
Let us know what's up for you.
Emails in the show notes.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.